The thing that this church is known for from visitors is you can feel the love in this church. And I believe that this church has been put here on County Line Road so that we can love other people. We're doing a series on stewardship equals successful living. And today our topic is 1 + 1 = Several years ago, I was talking to a young boy, and he had learned his numbers, and he was a young kid, and I was talking to him, and he said, "Yeah, I know my numbers." I said, "How far do you know?" He says, "I know all the way to 100, and then he proceeded to count, 1, 2, and we got to 100. I said, "That is amazing." I said, "Have you learned to add and subtract?" And he says, "What's that?" And I said, "Well, 1 + 1 = what?" And he thought for a moment and he said, 11. Because when you put 1 and 1, it's 11. A smart kid. He later on learned that it was 2, or he flunked kindergarten. I don't know. But here's the thing I want you to hear today. 1 + 1, when God's one of those, is equal to things we can't even imagine. And that's what we're going to be talking about today when it comes to our stewardship and what God wants from us. There was a man by the name of D.L. Moody, and if you are familiar with Christianity at large, D.L. Moody had such an impact on not only the Christian world, but on the world in general. I mean, in Chicago, his name is synonymous with a school up there that teaches preachers and teachers and things like that. But D.L. Moody didn't start off wanting to become this great man and great influencer in Chicago. What he wanted to do is he wanted to live for God. And if you look at your lesson notes this morning, you will see in your lesson notes, he heard this quote by Henry Varley. "The world has yet to see what God will do with and for and through and in and by a man who is fully consecrated to him." And when D.L. Moody heard that, he thought, "I want to be that man." And he began, he was a shoe salesman at the time, and he began to teach, and he began to preach, and he began to grow his ministry. As a matter of fact, after his first sermon, somebody came up to him and said to him, "You probably need to not do that anymore." But he had devoted himself completely and totally to God. And through that, he was able to start schools. He was able to start an orphanage. He was feeding the poor. He was doing all of these things. And he says it's because of this quote. Well, I want God to be able to use us. Amen. Wouldn't it be great if God used us in some capacity, in some great way? Because I think God wants to use us in some capacity, in some great way. And it may be something that you do today, and it may be something that you do over a lifetime. But I believe that God wants to use His people. He wants to partnership with us. But we have to be ready for that. If you got your lesson notes, the type of person God uses to bless others is, number one, people who pray. People who pray. And the scripture that we're referencing, I'm not going to reference all the scriptures there because it was just read to you so eloquently by my brother Austin. But one of the things we've been doing over the last couple of months as we're getting ready for this particular Sunday today, and I'll say more about that after my sermon, but we have been praying. And over things have happened, and I have watched God open doors and God do things. And as I was telling my brother Shaq and my brother Chris this morning as we were talking about things, you know, if what we're doing here at this church is of God, it will succeed. And that's the thing that I want you to understand. The second thing is people who love people. God uses people to bless others And the people he uses are the ones that love other people. And if you're here in this church and you're a member of this church and you don't love other people, come see me because I want to kick you out. The thing that this church is known for from visitors is you can feel the love in this church. And I believe that this church has been put here on County Line Road so that we can love other people. And the more people we know and the more people we love, the more people we can influence. Number three, God uses people who pay attention to the needs of others. God uses people who pay attention to the needs of others. You know, the opposite of love is not hate, it is indifference. And I'm going to tell you, it's real easy in the world today with all the things that we've got going on. It is real easy to become indifferent to people. One of the things that I try to do with every person I meet is I try to look them in the eye and connect with them in some way. Sometimes it's just a second. Sometimes it's more than that. My neighbors, they think I am the weird guy on the block because I wave to everybody. There's a Hispanic couple that rented the house catty corner to mine, and I don't know who lives there because there's people coming and going all the time, but I'm waving to everybody as they go by, and I don't speak a word of Spanish, so I don't even know what to say to them, but I can wave. And you look for the needs of others. Number four, God uses people who inspire hope in others. They inspire hope in others. One of the things this world needs today is more division, right? No, we don't need more division. We need hope. This world needs hope. I can hardly stand to watch the news and see the stuff that's going on in the world today. It is frightening. This world needs hope, and we need to be the people that bring hope to this divided world. Number five, God uses people who use what they have. They use what they have. They don't say, if I had more. One of the things Nancy and I would do from time to time, we'd watch the lottery numbers go up and see how much money that is. As a matter of fact, we stopped on the way over here so I could get an iced tea, and it looked like the lottery is at 2.235 million or something like that. 235 million, unbelievable amount of money. And in the past, when it was just a million, we would just have this little conversation. And if you're married, you probably had this at one time or another. What would you do if you won the lottery? What would you do when you won the lottery? And of course, you know, we're talking about how we could help people, we could do those things, but guess what? We use what we have to help people now. We use what we have to influence others now. We use what we have to the benefit of others. Number six, people who realize the source is God. We talked about this in one of the previous lessons, that everything we own comes from God. It doesn't come from our doing. It doesn't come from me being brilliant. It doesn't come from me being a lucky person. It comes from God. God is the source of all of our blessings. And everything you own is God's. And I can prove it because one day when we put you in the ground, you're not taking anything with us. I used to say all the time, you've never seen a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse. But then my friend Gary Stevens sent me a picture of a U-Haul behind a hearse. And I couldn't use that anymore. But I can guarantee you this, whatever was buried with that hearse is still buried. I have a friend that says, all I have is junk. And I'm thinking, you drive a BMW, you live in a nice house on a lake, you've got a pool, all you have is junk. He said, yeah, it just hasn't gotten there yet. And I guarantee you, over time, everything you have will be junk. Number seven, people who try and trust God for the rest. People who try and trust God for the rest. That's what our eldership is doing, is they're trying to move ahead and plan for the future. They're trying, but they are trusting God to take care of it. We really don't know everything we need to know right at this moment. We don't have all the details worked out, but God said, if you'll try and trust me, I'll make up the difference. And in this story, it says, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. Number 8, God uses people who want God to receive the glory. God uses people that want to see God receive the glory. He does not use people that want to glorify themselves. He uses people that want to glorify God. And when we are going through this process here that we're going to talk about in a few moments, everything that I am going to tell you is not about the individuals. It is about bringing glory to God. And one day, when I'm dead and gone and nobody remembers my name or that I was the best preacher that this church ever had, I'm the only one they've had since they've moved here. So I can say that, rightfully so. But when they forget all that, I hope the spirit that is in this church today will still be with this church, and it will be making impact in other people's lives. God uses people who want God to receive the glory. Well, there's two reasons God doesn't use us. Number one, we feel independent. We feel like we're the source and we have the supply, and whatever source we have and supply, that's enough. And God just doesn't use us when we have everything we need. Letter B, we feel inadequate. We feel like there's no source and there's no supply. I've talked to a lot of people over the last little bit about the sacrificial giving we're going to be doing, and people are asking me, Neil, how can, you know, my little bit is not going to help. And I am reminding everyone in here today, whatever you commit to God, God will use. I did a fundraiser several years ago, and we were trying to raise several thousands of dollars to do a remodel on the church that I was with. And I will never forget, after I talked about it, we had the sermon. This little girl came up to me, and she handed me 52 cents. And she says, you said it would anything would help, so I got my money out of my purse, and I want to use it towards this campaign. Well, that was back when we were having Sunday night services, and that Sunday night I got up, and I showed the church 52 cents. And I got one of the quarters, and I said, I'm going to put the rest of this money in the collection plate, but I'm going to take this quarter, and I'm going to replace it with a $100 bill because I want to keep this quarter to remind me of what faith looks like. That 52 cents raised over $10,000, people bidding on the other quarters and the two pennies. You know, if you have a little, God can do a whole lot with it. When you commit it to Him, don't feel inadequate. Peter and John realized these three things. Number one, they realized God's power. They realized God's power. It is not about us. It is about God's power. And when you realize God's power, you can do anything. Secondly, they realized about God's provision, that God will provide for what He wants to do. I used to love Bill Hemphill would say, when we get our act together, God will bring the people and the resources we need. Well, we're getting our act together, Bill, because we know that God's going to bring the people and the resources His need. And letter three, they knew about God's partnership. That when you work with God, you have a partnership that can do big things. It reminds me of the story of a mouse who needed to get across a swinging bridge. And he saw an elephant nearby, and he went to the elephant and said, "Hey, let me ride on your back across this swinging bridge." And the elephant said, "Okay." And they got to the other side, and he hopped off, and he looked at that elephant and said, "Boy, did we really shake that bridge." And that's the way it is with God and his partnership. What does it mean to partner with God? Number one, or the first one, is God supplies and man shares. God supplies and man shares. That's what's going to be happening here. God is supplying us. We share with what God has supplied us with. The next one is God is the creator and the man is a curator. God created everything on this earth. We are the curators of that. God has created whatever wealth you have or whatever you have at this moment. You are the curator of it. You are the steward of what he has given you. And finally, God pours it out and man passes it on. God pours it out and man passes it on. And the reason why I'm having these series of lessons is because I want you to remember where your blessings come from. And I want you to remember that God has power in your life to do things that you didn't think were possible. I am struggling with the idea of what Nancy and I should give because I know from past experience that whatever we give, God blesses us back 100 times over. And I want you to have that mindset as we go into this season of giving. Each Lord's Day, and if you're visiting with us today, the things we're going to be talking about next don't apply to you, but I'm so happy that you're here and you get to hear about this church and how it's on the move. But each Lord's Day, one of the things we do is we sing an invitation song. We sing that invitation song to give you a chance to look into your heart and to see if there's something you need to change, something you need to do differently. I'm going to have Martell come up now and lead us in that song, and then afterwards, I got a few more things to say.